This seance was recorded on the 12th of September, 1964, medium Leslie Flint.
We were here last week, weren't you?
Yes, and what happened last week?
Nothing.
No, we didn't. We know that.
Couldn't get through.
Oh, never mind. You hear this down, that's all.
Better luck now, eh?
Hey, oh, yes.
How's the world treating you, mate?
Oh, I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good. You're okay, sure.
Yes, in what way?
Oh, if I was to go in there, I'd be here for hours. If I was to go into that, I'd be here for hours.
I don't know. It's nice to know what you think about me from the other side, because I can't see myself, you know.
Can't you?
Not really. No, I don't think anyone ever does.
Well, there's nothing wrong with you that a good psychiatrist can't put you on.
Oh, well.
How many pulling your leg?
Yes, I know you are, dear. But I know, to be serious, though, I think it is good to hear what other people think about you sometimes. Because lots and lots of things you think you're all right about, and you probably think, oh, I don't know, I don't think that sounds very good, or... You're not the sort of person I thought she was, or something, and you rather get a shock.
Never mind, I.
No.
Why worry?
I'm not worrying about it. I'm just wondering, that's all. What kind of back from your side? Hey?
It's a good job, ain't it?
Isn't it?
Don't get a worry, does it?
No, it doesn't. I found that out. It doesn't get you anywhere.
He's disappeared.
I suppose he's gone very far.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rudy.
How did you know it was me? Why did you not say it was me? How would you know?
I recognize your voice.
Oh, you recognize my voice, huh? Well, it is possibly that it is similar each time. I don't know. It is always a little difficult always to know exactly how it sounds, you know, because each time it is different, everything, the conditions, everything is so variable that one can never be sure exactly how it is going to register. I suppose it is that the voice can sound each time similar. It is very odd because each time it is like a different experiment, trying to converse, to convey one's thoughts through this method. It is in a sense artificial, as I suppose it must be, because the voice itself is reproduced through the mechanism of this kind of ectoplasmic voice box, which must to some extent have its own peculiarities, which we are not always aware. It is a very complicated business. I still am a little puzzled myself about certain aspects of it, but it is important to not worry too much about the mechanics, but to get on with the conversing, the transmission of one's thoughts, and the hope that you receive it as well as it is possible to receive under the circumstances. Huh?
Yes, well, as a matter of fact, your voice does sound more or less the same every time.
The extraordinary thing, I am told, I don't know if this is true, that my voice, when I come to speak, sounds much more like my voice presumably was in my early years in America, not so much the latter years of my life when I had overcome certain difficulties of language, and I, to some extent, I suppose, had become Americanized, you know, and my voice, in consequence, had something of America in it. I don't know, but it is possible that when I think, although I have to concentrate my thought in English so that you receive the transmission in English so that you can understand it, it is as if I'm thinking in two languages at this same time, Italian and in English, and the American aspect seems to be less and less. It is, I think, very odd, because everything in language, by essence, is really a kind of picturization which comes through in words. The actual voice itself is something which is peculiar, I suppose, to each individual according to the physical body, according to the background and their education or the lack of their education, in what country they were born and the circumstances. Indeed, every individual voice depends so much on so many different things. And I come and I speak to you, and I think, as I have to in English, because I am in English vibrations. In other words, I come here and the whole atmosphere of this particular part of the world is completely English, and in some strange way that has also some effect on my communication. And secondly, I want to transmit my thoughts into English so that you understand that fundamentally I think as a person, I feel, I suppose this is the correct way to put it, I feel it in an Italian way, which is in a way quite different to feeling in an English way or a Spanish way or an American way. That is the odd thing, how strange it can be. For instance, you are born in a certain country. You learn that language, which is natural to that country. You learn the customs of that country. You become, by very nature of upbringing and background, of that country. Then you leave that country and you go to another country and you learn a different language gradually. Sometimes you don't learn it too well and you make many mistakes, of course, and you find a different way of life, a different thought force, I suppose, at work, because habit and background has made people think differently and act in consequence differently. And it is very odd when you have been, as some people have been in several countries, you take something from each country, not necessarily always the good, although one would like to think one does. In other words, you become much more composite, you become more complex in a way. Whereas an Italian is Italian, and no one can mistake an Italian, particularly in Italy. Immediately an Italian can spot someone who is not Italian, even before they speak. And even when they, and when they do speak, even though that Italian may be perfect, one can always tell that this person is not an Italian. It, or same thing applies to England. It is not necessarily anything to do with dress. It is not necessarily always to do with the voice of the person. It is something so fundamental, something so interesting, that I have made a study of it here. How even here, although you would say, because we are here and we have entered a new life and we are becoming in consequence much more spiritualized, I suppose is the word to use, and much more wide in our outlook and much more able to be, how you say, much more able to be understood, because the subtleties of this life are so much more finer, so much more tremendous in the implication, but even so, it is possible, even here, after you have perhaps been here some years, to be able to tell, to some extent, what nationality or what country a person may have come from when on earth. You see, you don't necessarily immediately eradicate all the old self, all the old parts of oneself which apply in regard even to geography, It is most interesting, because I remember many years ago when I was on your side, when I had mastered, more or less, you might say, English, and I spoke pretty good English, but if I got very excited, it seemed as if I was beginning not to think so much in English, but in Italian. Funny, I used to, according to my mood and the conditions in which I found myself, I would find myself becoming either more Americanized or more Italianized, if I can put it like that. Sometimes I would lose my control, and I would burst out into long patches of Italian, quite forgetting that the people that I was speaking to, or in whose presence I was, that they were American or English. It is very interesting, because I think all this has some effect on communication. It's all very well for people to say, oh yes, well, I would think so-and-so would say so-and-so, or so-and-so would speak in this fashion. But it isn't as easy or as simple as that, because we have to manipulate and have to use the conditions, or what the conditions provide at the moment of communication. And if those conditions are very much affected, as they often are, by the thoughts of the people who are present, and I refer here to particularly the people on earth that one may be communicating with, although you may be communicating with a certain person more than the rest of the company that may be present, the rest of the company, their thoughts and their influence can play a very important part. You may wonder why I'm going into all this, because I think it is interesting, and secondly, because I think it will help some people to understand certain points which may puzzle them. You see, people always assume that a person, when they come through to speak, that they will be absolutely identical in every way to themselves as they were, which in a way is rather stupid. If people would only stop to think deeply about this, they would realize there are many reasons why one may not necessarily sound identically the same in the timbre of the voice, and neither would they necessarily say identically the things that one would expect them to say, because there are many different factors at work. When the conditions are ideal, then of course it is a different matter. When the conditions are perfect for communication, which they seldom ever are, then it is more likelihood that one will be able to convey more accurately in sound and in words and in expression and in the subject matter discussed more of one's personality, more of oneself. But all this is very variable and very subject to all sorts of very strange and sometimes very complex conditions. Thoughts, you must remember, are very, very real, very tangible things to us. They're not the wishy-washy of things that you associate them. Whereas on your side, thoughts are vital and important, it is true. But nevertheless, thoughts are not as powerful with you as they are with us. Thought to us is predominant, for we live in a world which is, in a sense, completely a thought world, very real nevertheless, but nevertheless fundamentally a thought world, a great sort of scope, so tremendous that, well, you could not even begin to understand what I mean when I talk about this. Everything in our world is created by the very power and the very essence of thought. We are as we think, no more and no less. This applies, of course, in your world too. But people may think one thing in your world and say something quite different, and no one would be any other wiser. But here that is not possible. Here your thoughts are very, very real, very tangible, and it is not possible for you in any way to say anything here that would deceive another person, because here your thoughts are tangible to the extent that they are immediately apparent and immediately tangible to other people around and about you, people that you are associating with. I mention all this because I think it is very interesting and very important for people to grasp this, the vitality that and the importance that emanates from thought. Thought is the creative power. And if we come and communicate with you, and then we think very hard and concentrate all our being on trying to convey to you in all substance that we can command, all that we may feel, but in the process of doing this, sometimes discrepancies or difficulties must and do come. People may say, oh yes, you say this voice that speaks to you is Valentino. How do you know it is Valentino? How can you prove it to them? You may argue this or that. You may point out certain points or factors which at least prove for your satisfaction, but they're not necessarily proof for someone else. But then again, they do not know me as well as you know me. People may say to you, you never knew Valentino, so how can you say it is Valentino? That you have been so close to me in thought for so many years, also you have read so much about me, and in many ways you have drawn so close to me. And this applies not only to you, but to others who are like you. And in consequence, there is no doubt, because not only of the things that I may say, which may in themselves have some value as evidence, but there is something even more subtle, more real, more tangible, even than this. It is an inner consciousness, an inner awareness, a feeling of reality, which others may not sense or may not feel, because they themselves, in several instances that one might quote, are not ready to receive. They are not in the same sort of vibrational condition of reception. You see, everything is a matter of reception. There are some people who are ready to receive something. There are some people who are ready to understand something. There are some people who are ready to accept, because they themselves have made it possible by their changed outlook or their changed attitude of mind. It is impossible to convert, if one wanted to convert, anyone to anything until they themselves have made it possible by their desiring of knowledge or experience. There are others, of course, who are very sincerely interested, who are students, if you like, of a certain subject, not necessarily this. And they may read a great deal about something, or they may go to classes to be helped and improved in their mind and their understanding of some subjects. That is, of course, the beginning of wisdom, that is the beginning of progress. But even so, there may be certain aspects of some subtle nature within themselves that with all their willingness they cannot find either the conviction or the knowledge or gather the experience that makes them able to become, you might say, converted to something, or to become, in the case of art, shall we say, or the case of music, or whatever it may be, to make them proficient. Even the willingness or the desiring of knowledge and experience or ability to achieve something doesn't necessarily mean to say that automatically you will be able to be receptive or you will be able to achieve. In other words, what I try to explain here is that there is something even more fundamental, which is so deep and so much the essence of man himself, that many people cannot understand. And I don't think it is possible, perhaps, to understand while you are still confined to a physical body, working and living and experiencing under physical conditions. For some people in themselves, deep down, so deeply hidden they cannot understand or realize it is even there, there is some part of their nature which has not evolved. And it is this lack of evolving, this lack of being able to enter into a very finite condition, a condition which in itself is so subtle, so far removed from materialism and material things, that even though, even in some instances, not in all, but in some instances, with the best will that they can command and the best desiring of their heart, they are still not in the receptive stage. They are still not, as it were, completely amenable to certain things. It is something so deep and so fundamental. It is something which is to do with the growth of the soul, the growth of the inner consciousness and awareness of the things which are beyond and outside what you term the normal. In other words, what I'm trying to say here is that there are people in your world who are in themselves not bad people, who are in themselves very sincere and in themselves very good. And on the surface, as you know those kind of people or that individual, if we take an individual, you would suggest or you would say that this person is very progressed or is in a state of progression, which has truth when one says that, but it doesn't mean to say that they are in themselves receptive to spiritual knowledge in the highest sense. For instance, in a case, you take someone who is of a religious stand of mind, someone who goes to church regularly and endeavors to follow out the teachings of the church, which may be and are often fundamentally very good. In other words, that person is a good person. They live what is termed a good life. They do no bad things very much. They try their utmost to live and do all that is wise and all that is good. But this is not necessarily the key, in a sense, that will open the door of wisdom, of spiritual wisdom. Strange as it may seem, because I think one has the illustration of this in so many, many different ways. One can relate instances of so many people who have been very strong in their faith and have been very true in their faith and in many ways have been very good. And yet, as individuals and collectively as groups of people, they have, in their narrowness of their mind, created havoc or created untold unhappiness for many people. They were thinking that they were doing the right thing. They were thinking that they were doing the good thing. In other words, that aspect of goodness is a narrow one in many respects. In other words, they believe to find goodness you must have an iron will for good, or as they would say, you must chastise. And this is contrary to real spiritual progression. Real spiritual progression means that one's heart is wide and open to receive and to give love in the highest and the fullest sense. That you yourself will, if necessary, make untold sacrifices for love's sake, for the sake of the rest of humanity. Also, it means that you must have infinite patience and great tolerance, so much so that you are prepared, if necessary, as Christ said, to turn the other cheek. And although you may see the faults in others, you do not condemn. You have great love and great tolerance within your nature, that you realize your own imperfections only too well, and that you strive more and more to make yourself a better person in the highest sense, but not in a narrow sense. Not that you must accept something as gospel, that you must see truth and recognize it, and realize that that truth which you have is but a speck in the desert. It is like a grain of sand in the desert of truth, and that that little grain that you hold is only a minute part. Therefore your mind must be open and wide and flexible, and you do not become dogmatic, you do not become so good within yourself and your own estimation that your aspect of truth or your particular brand of religion or faith, whatever you like to call it, is the only way. That is the great mistake that exists in your world. When you have all these untold numbers of religions, these untold numbers of different faiths, and the adherents of these people who are invariably good and following out the tenets of that church or that particular religion, think that they are right and everyone else must be wrong, and that their road is the only road, the only path that will lead to salvation or to paradise or heaven, call it what you like. But it is all so stupid, because we are within ourselves part of a great scheme. It is so tremendous, it is so vast in its conception, that we can only grasp a little as we go along. And that is what it is so important to remember, that we can only grasp so much according to our slow evolution through time and through experience. For what is an aspect of truth today is still a truth, but in the realization of greater truth that comes, that little speck has grown beyond recognition. That is why one must never be adamant that this particular belief that one has is the only belief, the only right belief. It is only a small aspect of the whole. And I think if people can realize the immensity of life and not try to pinpoint it in small areas or in small ways, either individually or collectively, then that is the path of realization and the path which brings one wisdom and experience and a greater understanding. That is why it is so important when people come to seances that they should realize that they themselves are on the threshold of a great truth, a great knowledge, but it is only a speck, even so, in truth itself that they can hope to understand. But nevertheless, it is that small speck that will grow with knowledge and experience and patience and tolerance and love, nursing it and helping it to grow. That is why when we come to you, we may only be able to reveal a little. Perhaps we may only be able to say so much. Perhaps we may only be able to do a minute fraction of what we would like, what we would desire. But nevertheless, it is often sufficient for the time, for the individual that may be seeking. Those who come with our hearts open to receive love will receive love in abundance. Those who come with our minds open and ready to receive will receive from us that intelligent communication that will help them, which will make it possible for them to understand greater truth as it is to be revealed. But those who come with a closed mind, or a mind that is only ready to perceive the minutest part, those who come to destroy rather than to build, they will destroy themselves in part. Because until a person is open and ready to receive and is ready to become, like Christ said, as little children, we must be like little children, asking questions, seeking knowledge, seeking information. And once we know our teachers, and we know them to be good teachers and sincere teachers, then we can accept them and follow them. Then indeed do we grow mentally and spiritually. But there are so many people who profess to be sincere, but their sincerity is not that of a child who seeks unquestioningly. Their knowledge is often very small, and often their attitude is infantile, although they think themselves adult. It is not so much with the brilliant mind of the earth so quiet that we can hope to succeed, but with those who seek with the faith of the child, seeking sincerely and with our hearts full of love, there we can sow the seeds that will flower eventually, which will bring great happiness and great peace of mind and great realization of the things that are eternal. That is why when I am able to come and speak here, I feel invariably that all that I have to give is received in love. I do not suggest that it is necessary always to expect to understand everything immediately. Sometimes thoughts must be implanted which will take a little time for them to be understood, to be accepted fully. There will be puzzling factors, there will be things said and sometimes things which will cause, if not concern, some even doubt. This is unfortunate, but it cannot help but be otherwise. We must learn slowly but surely, each one of us, according to our understanding, according to our depth from within ourselves of seeking. Those who come flippantly, those who come seeking on the surface, will receive very little, if anything, of value. But those who seek deeply and sincerely, with sincerity and love, they will find that which they seek, and more besides. It is important to know and realize these things. We can only do as much as we can do. But the conditions which you provide, the conditions which are provided by those who sit, as you term it, they are the ones who make possible what we hope to achieve and can achieve in consequence. My coming to speak to you is always a great happiness to me. But I know that from this and other talks such as this, many can be helped and will be helped when their minds are open and they are prepared to receive, and having received, make effort in themselves, not only to understand more and more, but above all, to do more and more that will benefit others in bringing them peace and happiness and bringing them the tranquility which only the Spirit can give. I and others do everything in our power, but we can only do what you permit us and allow us to do. We are limited by the peoples that we communicate with. This is not always easy to understand, but it is true. Where there is, as I've so often said, sincerity of purpose coupled with love and a determination to serve, all things are possible. There are no limits to what can be achieved and what can be accomplished if the individuals concerned sincerely desire, not only for self, but for others. In that, we are given a power and a strength to overcome all things. I just want you to know that I am grateful for these opportunities to speak, and I know that you will make every effort to do the best you can with what is given, not only, as I say, for yourself, but for others, for we are here to work together and to serve humanity. This is our work, this is our task, and it is always a joy and a happiness to do it. Anyway, I must go, but my love and my blessings to you and to all of you, and don't worry.
Thank you, Rudy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, then.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Nicky.
What to do is lecture, wouldn't it?
Well, it's lovely tape, isn't it?
Yes. Mm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, then.
Hmm. Oh, that was quite interesting, wasn't it?
It was very interesting.
It was informative, wasn't it?
Yes, it's something that, I've wondered about from time to time myself, really.